أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. اللهم نعوذ بك من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فهو المهتد، ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا. اللهم زدنا علما كثيرا وحكما وعملا متقبلا. أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. جزاكم الله خيرا. Beloved brothers and sisters, inshallah, today we're having our third class in the tafsir of the Quran and Kareem, and we'll be covering the subject of nasikh and mansukh, or the concept of abrogation in the Quran. And this is a subject that is extremely important. In fact, Imam Ali, may Allah be pleased with him, he once asked a person, "Do you have knowledge of nasikh and mansukh, or the concept of abrogation in the Quran?" And the person said, "No, I don't have any knowledge of that." So Imam Ali, he says, "Halakt wa ahlakta." You have been in great loss, or you have been led astray, and you will lead others astray. So it's something of very critical importance to learn and to understand the concept of abrogation, and it's one of those issues that it's imperative for us to study and to learn about. Inshallah, let us go together and read the verses in Surah Baqarah that speak of the nasakh, or the abrogation, and then after that we will we'll dive into their explanation and what the scholars they said about these verses. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. ما ننسخ من آية أو ننسها نأتي بخير منها أو مثلها. ألم تعلم أن الله على كل شيء قدير. ألم تعلم أن الله له ملك السماوات والأرض وما لكم من دون الله من ولي ولا نصير. أم تريدون أن تسألوا رسولكم كما سئل موسى من قبل. وَمَنْ يَتَبَدَّلِ الْكُفْرَ بِالْإِيمَانِ فَقَدْ ضَلَّ سَوَاءَ السَّبِيلِ. صدق الله العظيم. These are the verses 106 to 108 from Surah Baqarah. We'll start by going over the meaning of some of the words in the surah. Allah Azza wa Jal, glory be to Him, says, مَا نَنْسَخْ مِنْ آيَةٍ أَوْ نُنْسِهَا. Ma nansakh, nasakha in Arabic, it has the meaning of to erase. The scholars, they say that in the Arabs, they'll say nasakhat ash-shamsu al-dhil. The sun, when it came out, it erased the shadows that were present. So the nasakh here in the verse talks about erasing something. This is the linguistic meaning. And it also has the meaning of to change something and replace it with something else. So Allah says, مَا نَنْسَخْ مِنْ آيَةٍ. Actually, I should translate it, inshallah, for those who don't know Arabic. Allah is saying, we do not cause an ayah to be abrogated or to be put away or to be left, except we come with what is more beneficial than it, or something that is similar to it. Do you not know that Allah is powerful over all things? Do you not know that to Allah belongs the dominion of the heavens and the earth, and you have none who is caretaker over you but Him, and none that can give you success? Or do you want to ask your Prophet, do you want to question your Prophet as Musa was questioned by his people before? And do you want to change your iman with kufr? فَقَدْ ضَلَّ. Whoever does that has lost the straight path. This is a translation of the verses. Now, let us look at some of the words. The word nasakha, ma nansakh min ayatin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is describing in this verse about the process of abrogation in the Qur'an, which is the removal of a ruling and replacing it with a later ruling. Allah Azza wa Jal, He's describing what happens when a later ruling comes and it replaces an earlier ruling. And this is the definition of nasakh. Nasakh or abrogation, according to the scholars, it is the raising of a hukum, of something that was commanded and being replaced by a later dalil, a later evidence. So for example, we have many examples of this, but a simple example is like the fasting of the day of Ashura. That was a day that was wajib, that was obligatory on the Muslims when they first came to Medina. Then at a later time, the verses came down commanding the fasting of Ramadan. And those verses abrogated the fasting of the day of Ashura. So this fits the definition. There's a hukum, there's a ruling that Allah has commanded us to fast on the day of Ramadan, on the day of Ashura. And then a later dalil, a later verse or a later command from the Prophet came and abrogated it, removed this previous hukum and brought a new ruling or a new hukum. So Allah says, مَا نَنْسَخْ مِنْ آيَةٍ. We do not change an ayah or cause an ayah to be replaced by a new ayah or a new ruling. أَوْ نَنْسِهَا. أَوْ نُنْسِهَا, and in a one narration, أَوْ نَنْسِهَا, in one of the qira'at. Again, نُنْسِهَا, it's important to understand the meaning of نُنْسِهَا. Some people, they translate it literally, which means to forget. But actually, the Arabs, they use the word نُنْسِهَا to mean to leave something. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says in some of the verses of the Qur'an, regarding the people who left His verses, فَنَسِيتَهَا, He says, you have forgotten them, meaning you left them. They didn't literally forget them, but they left them behind. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in some cases, He'll delay the ruling. He'll cause a verse, a ruling to come later. He'll delay it, and He'll have an earlier ruling. And this is similar to how a doctor, he might give some medicine for a person based on his state. And then later on, because of his state, he gets better, he gives him a different medicine. He gives him something that's lighter, or he gives him something depending on what he sees of his state. So the doctor, he'll change the prescription based upon what he sees is beneficial and has more maslaha, more goodness and benefit for those that he's treating. So this is an example in لِلَّهِ الْمَثَلُ الْأَعْلَى. Allah Azza wa Jal, He legislates based upon what He determines is the best for us and what is more beneficial for us. And so when this benefit has been achieved and He decides to change this ruling, then He causes the abrogation of the verse, just like a doctor, he might change the prescription for a patient of his. It's not because the doctor changed his mind, and it's not because the doctor did not have appropriate knowledge. He did have knowledge. But seeing what will be more beneficial for those that he's treating, he changes the prescription for them. So likewise, when we look at the nasakh in the Qur'an, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He commanded His khitab, His speech, was at one time, it was, for example, the fasting of the day of Ashura. And then Allah, He removes this command, and He brings a new command for the fasting of Ramadan. And this is because it's more beneficial. It's more beneficial for those that who are under, who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, Allah legislates according to what is beneficial for us. So you might ask, how is fasting a whole month more beneficial for us than fasting a single day? Well, the scholars, they say that when Allah abrogates a lighter command and gives us a more difficult command, then this is beneficial for us in the Akhirah. This will bring us more reward. We'll be able to worship Allah more. This will be more purifying for us. This will be more ubudiyah to Allah. So this is more beneficial to us in the long run, in the long picture. And this is because the nasakh is, it can be to bring something more difficult after it was easy. And the reason for that is the human being, he cannot bear a sudden command to do something very difficult. If the Sahaba were commanded immediately to fast the whole month of Ramadan without having the training of fasting Ashura, fasting other days, it would have been very difficult. If the Sahaba were commanded immediately to leave alcohol, then it would have been very difficult. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He revealed verses, first saying, لا تقرب الصلاة وأنتم سكارى. Do not approach prayer and you're drunk, and you're not drinking. So the Sahaba, they had to train themselves to stay away from alcohol during the daytime hours, and they only could drink at certain times of the night. And then when this became firm, it became established with them, then Allah revealed the hurma, the tahrim, absolute of alcohol. So there's tadarruj. The hikmah, the reason why Allah, He causes the abrogation, is so that there would be tadarruj, there would be ease in going from one ruling to another. And as we'll see later, this is one of the important aspects of the sharia, is what's called tadarruj fi tashri'ah. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He knows, He changed the Arab society from a barbaric society, one where they used to kill their daughters and bury them alive, they used to drink and kill one another over trivial matters. 23 years later, He changed them into the highest of people, the Sahaba, the noblest people that ever lived. So this took a gradual process, and this is part of the hikmah, or part of the wisdom, why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He abrogated, as time went on, He changed some of the commands for the Sahaba and for the Ummah. And also the scholars, they mention that the society, when Allah is legislating, the commands for that society depend on the state of that society and its time and place. Just like a person, you have different people, you have different ways, different states that a person can be in. Likewise, there are societies. And this is why Allah sent every prophet with his own sharia. And the next prophet, He abrogated the sharia that came before. Just like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He sent Adam alayhi salam. At that time, when he only had two parents, it was allowed for a daughter, one of the daughters and one of the sons to marry one another. And this is something that we cannot deny, that even the Christians and the Jewish people, as we'll see, the Jewish people rejected the abrogation of Nasakh, but they cannot deny that it was allowed for a son to marry, or a brother and a sister to marry at the time of Adam alayhi salam, because that was what was beneficial for that society. But then as time went on, this no longer became appropriate for the society, then Allah abrogated that command. And it became haram in the religions of Musa alayhi salam and Isa, and in our religion. So we see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He abrogates, He can bring a more difficult command. And this is so that in the long run it will be more beneficial for the believers. So they'll attain more reward in the akhirah. Sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will abrogate a command with something that is easier. And this is out of His mercy for His servants. For example, we have the waiting period of a woman. In the time of Jahiliyyah, she would have to spend a whole year locked in a room. She couldn't come out of the house. She couldn't take a bath. And they say that when she came out of the house, after that 1 year of confinement, even an animal might die when she passed by it. This was the waiting period of a woman whose husband died. Then the first verses came down saying that a woman, she would have the waiting period in al-hawli ghayra ikhraj. 1 year, of course she was allowed to shower, and Islam did not prevent her from those things. But then it became easier. Allah reduced it to 4 months and 10 days. So this type of gradual lightening of burden was also present in the sharia. So what is the reason why Allah revealed these verses? What is the occasion or the asbab and nuzul? The Jewish people, they came to the Prophet and they said, look at Prophet Muhammad, look at your Prophet, he changes the Qur'an whenever he pleases. He changes the rulings according to his own desires, and this is proof that he's the author of the Qur'an. Because the Qur'an said to pray towards Bayt al-Maqdis, towards Jerusalem, then it changed and it said to pray towards the Qibla, towards the Kaaba in Mecca. So the Jewish people, they came to the Muslims and they started spreading this doubt amongst the believers. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He sent down this verse clarifying that it is Allah Himself the one who abrogates ayahs, and it is not the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Also we see the verse of the that comes afterwards. Do you want to ask your Prophet like Musa was asked before? And this is because Abdullah ibn Umayyah, one of the munafiqeen in Medina, he came to the Prophet ﷺ and he asked him he said, why don't you make a spring gush forth from the earth? Or why don't you make a garden from us? And he started challenging the Prophet ﷺ to bring forth these things. So Allah revealed the verse, do you want to ask your Prophet like the Musa was asked by his people before? They said, bring down for us different types of food. They commanded him for all these things, and even when they were brought, they still disbelieved in Allah. They said, لَن نُؤْمِنَ لَكَ حَتَّى نَرَى اللَّهَ جَهْرًا. They said, we will not believe in you until we see Allah Himself. So these type of questions that were being asked, it's not for the goal of learning, but their goal was to turn away from the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah says, مَا نَنْسَخْ مِنْ آيَةٍ أَوْ نُنْسِهَا نَأْتِي بِخَيْرٍ مِنْهَا. What does it mean here? نَأْتِي بِخَيْرٍ مِنْهَا. Allah, He abrogates an ayah and He brings what is better than it. Does this mean that the first ayah or the first command, it wasn't good, or there was some, it was deficient in any way? Somebody might understand that from the ayah, نَأْتِي بِخَيْرٍ مِنْهَا. But actually what it means here, نَأْتِي بِخَيْرٍ مِنْهَا, we come with something which is better, it actually means that which is more beneficial for you. Because as the society evolved, as the Sahaba, they became accustomed to the commands that Allah brought down, then Allah brought something which is more beneficial for them. A different command which is more beneficial for them. And this is what it means, what khayr means here. And this is because Allah's will and Allah's knowledge doesn't change. If we say something is better as a human being, we make a choice, and then later on we say, I thought of something better. This is because either our knowledge increased or our will changed. But for Allah, this is impossible. Allah's knowledge is already infinite, and His irada doesn't change. So what does it mean when He says, we bring what is better than it? What it means is He brings what is more beneficial at that time for the Sahaba, for the Ummah. So this is what it means, يَأْتِي بِخَيْرٍ مِنْهَا. And then Allah says, أَلَمْ تَعْلَمْ أَنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. Then Allah says, do you not know that Allah is powerful over all things? And who is addressed by this, do you not know? Here this verse is addressing the Prophet ﷺ, but then by extension, because the Prophet is our Imam, it refers to the whole Ummah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He's asking us a rhetorical question, do you not know that Allah can do all things? He has absolute power to change His command at any time. And this again is a response to the Jewish people that said that there cannot be abrogation, and they rejected the idea or the concept of abrogation. One small thing to note here, and this is very important when looking at tafsir, Allah says, مَا نَنْسَخْ, we do not abrogate. But then the end of the verse, أَلَمْ تَعْلَمْ أَنَّ اللَّهَ. Right? In the beginning, Allah, He's the Khatib, He's the speaker. مَا نَنْسَخْ, we do not abrogate. But then in the end of the verse, أَلَمْ تَعْلَمْ أَنَّ اللَّهَ. Do you not know that Allah is powerful over all things? Allah doesn't say, do you not know that we are powerful over all things? We see this a lot in the Qur'an, right? If you've read the Qur'an, you see that very often it changes from speaker to the third person, from the first person to the third person. This is called iltifat in Arabic. It's a type of eloquence in balagha. Because a listener, when he hears a person speaking from the first person tense all the time, he becomes bored by that speech. So the Arabs, they change tenses in order to awaken the listener, so he pays more attention to the speech. For example, if you're speaking about a person in the third person tense, he did this and he did that, and then you say, if you do this, you know, as if you're speaking to the person himself, then it wakens the listener, it becomes more eloquent. And likewise, also it's so that we hear the name of Allah, so it puts the mahaba, it puts the awe of Allah in our hearts when we hear the name of Allah mentioned over and over again. So this is why Allah changes the tense from the first person to the third. Okay, now let's get to some of the important rulings. The first question that some people asked is it possible for Allah to abrogate? Is it something that really took place in the divine religions? And of course, we say that it has taken place. The proof of this is the coming of the Prophet Muhammad as a final prophet. His Sharia abrogated all of the previous Sharia's. What the Prophet brought, it abrogated everything that came before it. If Isa was alive today or Musa was alive today, he would have to follow the Sharia of Prophet Muhammad. And we know that when Isa, he comes down, he will pray with the Muslims. He will follow the Sharia of Prophet Muhammad. So it's something that the Jumhur of Ulama, they have all agreed upon, that the abrogation is something that has definitely taken place. In all of the previous laws have been abrogated. Now what about within Islam itself? Is there abrogation of laws within Islam? Again, the scholars, they all agreed that there's abrogation except for some small group of people. From them was a person, his name was Abu Muslim. Abu Muslim, he had some Mu'tazili thinking or rationalist thinking. And from his arguments, he said that Allah says, لَا يَأْتِيهِ الْبَاطِلِ مِنْ بَيْنِ يَدَيْهِ وَلَا مِنْ خَلْفِهِ. Allah says about the Qur'an, no falsehood can come to it from in front of it or behind it. So if a verse is abrogated, then that means a falsehood has come to it. This was his thinking or his argument. And also he said that the verse, مَا نَنْسَخْ مِنْ آيَةٍ أَوْ نُنْسِهَا, we do not abrogate a verse or cause it to be left aside. He said this refers to the previous books. You see how he twisted the verse. He said that this refers to previous books, it doesn't refer to the verses in the Qur'an. However, the scholars, they responded to this argument, and they said that when Allah says, لَا يَتِيهِ الْبَاطِلِ, no falsehood can come to the Qur'an, what is meant by that is there can be no contradiction, there can be no ambiguity or contradiction within the Qur'an. When one verse contradicts other verses, where in the Qur'an. And also they said that this verse itself is the most powerful proof that there is abrogation. When Allah says, مَا نَنْسَخْ مِنْ آيَةٍ أَوْ نُنْسِهَا نَأْتِ بِخَيْرٍ مِنْهَا. This verse is absolute proof that Allah is replacing one verse with another. And when Allah replaces a verse with another, it doesn't mean that He's taking away or He's canceling out a verse and coming with something better. What it means is the hukum, the ruling, is now changed and it's more beneficial for the people. This is what is meant by abrogating a verse. It doesn't mean that the verse, its eloquence was deficient. It doesn't mean that the language was deficient. What it means is that the hukum is no longer appropriate for the people and a new hukum must be applied. Again, always remember that example of the doctor who gives medicine. When he comes with a different medicine for the patient, it's not because the medicine was not good. It could be if the doctor was not knowledgeable. But let us say that the doctor was very knowledgeable and an expert in his field. But he changes the medicine in order to make it more appropriate and more beneficial for the state of the patient. Seeing that he's gotten better or he's gotten worse, they're seeing his hal, so he changes that medicine to make it better for the patient. And of course Allah is most knowledgeable and His medicine is perfect for every time and every place. Also the scholars, they point out many verses in the Qur'an that talk about nasakh. سَيَقُولُ الصُّفَهَاءُ مِنَ النَّاسِ مَا وَلَّاهُمْ عَنْ قِبْلَتِهِمْ. Allah talks about the changing of the qibla in the Qur'an. So this is absolute proof that the nasakh took place. Also the changing of the iddah for the woman whose husband passed away from 1 year to 4 months and 10 days. This is also another example of the changing or the nasakh in the Qur'an. Okay, so again to summarize, the changing of the hukum or the changing of the verses, the abrogation, this is a changing in the khitab, in the address, not in the changing of Allah's intention and not in the changing of His knowledge. This is what's very important to understand in nasakh. Allah's intention does not change. His knowledge does not change. His knowledge is infinite. He knows the future and the past. He knows what would have happened if something had happened in the past. He knows all possibilities. All possible outcomes are in Allah's knowledge. So the nasakh is not because of a changing in Allah's intention. It's a changing in the speech to what is more appropriate at that time and that place. Just like the changing of the qibla. Okay, so the types of nasakh, inshallah, we'll just go over quickly the types of nasakh. We have the abrogation of the verse and the remaining of its ruling. The abrogation of the verse and the remaining behind of its ruling. And this is in the case when a mother was, there was a verse that stated that a woman, if she breastfeeds her child 10 times, this is the verse about the stoning of the adulterer. That was in Surah An-Nur. الشيخ والشيخة إذا زنيا فرجموهما البتة نكالا من الله والله عزيز حكيم. This verse was in the Quran, or it was recited, and the recitation of it was abrogated, but its ruling remained behind. And this is something very rare that happened in the Quran. Also, we have the abrogation of both the verse and the ruling. And this is the one about the breastfeeding of 10 times. If a child is breastfed 10 times by a woman, she would become his breast child. She would be a child by rida'a. This was abrogated. It was in the Quran. It was abrogated. Its recitation as well as its hukum, its application, and it was replaced by 5 times. So the majority of ulama, they say that a breastfeeding of 5 times will make the child haram. So these first two types, they're very, very rare. Maybe there are only one or two examples. The abrogation of the verse and the ruling, and the abrogation of the verse and the remaining of the ruling. And what is very common in the Quran is the abrogation of the ruling and the remaining of the recitation. And this, for example, we have many examples of this, like the tahrim of the khamr. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَقْرَبُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَأَنْتُمْ سُكَارَى. So many, this example, it's still in the Quran, we still recite it, although that verse no longer applies. The ruling was abrogated, but the verse is still in the Quran. Now what is the reason? Why did Allah leave these verses in the Quran if the ruling is abrogated? And the reason for that, or the hikmah for that, is because we can see the gradual nature that the Sharia was revealed in. So it's a lesson for us. That when that we see that Allah's mercy in sending down His Sharia. Also, when we read some of the verses that talk about lightening the burden on the believers, it reminds us of Allah's mercy for us. And again, it's an important thing to remember that it is only Allah who abrogates. It is not the Prophet ﷺ who can decide to abrogate. Allah says, لَوْلَا أَن ثَبَتْنَاكَ لَقَدْ كِتَّ تَرْكَنُوا إِلَيْهِمْ شَيْئًا قَلِيلًا. If Allah did not make you firm, you would have inclined towards that. But Allah, He made the Prophet ﷺ firm, so that he would not, his own desires would not be affect, would not affect the Quran. And again, Jibreel alayhi salam, he would review the Quran with the Prophet ﷺ every year. So it is only Allah who can abrogate. It is not us that abrogates. It is not the Prophet ﷺ or anybody later on who can abrogate. When the wahi stopped, abrogation ended. Nobody can come along. No scholar can come along and abrogate anything from the Sharia. It was the wahi. It was only from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who allowed the abrogation of the verses. Okay, so this is this will bring us to the last ruling here, which is, can the Sunnah abrogate the Quran? And this is Brother Abdul Ghafoor, he likes this question here. Actually, the scholars, they differed. I remember you asked this question before. The scholars, they differed about it. And the Shafi'i school, they said that the Sunnah cannot abrogate the Qur'an. That was the opinion of Imam Shafi'i. And he said the reason for that is Allah says, مَا نَنْسَخْ مِنْ آيَةٍ أَوْ نُنْسِهَا نَأْتِي بِخَيْرٍ مِنْهَا. We do not abrogate an ayah except we come with what is better than it. And he said that the Sunnah is not better than the Qur'an. But the Jumhur, they responded to that, and they said that What is meant by what? Except we bring what is better than it, it means what is more beneficial. It doesn't mean that it's the Quran versus the Sunnah. It means the hukum itself. We bring the hukum that is more beneficial for the people. So the Jumhur, they responded to that, and also we see that there's so many examples where the Sunnah abrogated the Quran. Real life examples. For example, Allah, He commanded the wasiyah to write a will for the parents. But then we see in the Sunnah the Prophet said, "Ala la wasiyata lil warith." The Prophet ﷺ forbade giving a wasiyah and writing some amount of money to somebody who already inherits. So the Sunnah, it abrogated that ruling. Al wasiyatu lil, the wasiyah was commanded in the beginning that we should write a will or a portion of our wealth to our parents. But then that was abrogated by the Sunnah. The Prophet forbade us to write any amount of wealth to anybody that already receives a portion. You cannot write from the one third that we have. We cannot give that to a daughter. You cannot give it to your son. You cannot give it to your father. You cannot give it to anybody who already inherits. That was from the Sunnah. So we have real examples of the Sunnah abrogating the Quran. So this is proof again that the Jumhur, that the Sunnah can abrogate the Quran. And again, the abrogation, it is ended with the death of the Prophet ﷺ, with the end of the wahi. So we see, my beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, that the Sharia, it was not imposed on people in one moment, but it came down and it was in accordance to their state, in accordance to their preparedness and their ability to accept these laws. And this is one of the beauties, one of the wisdoms of the Nasakh. It shows that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He always commands what is beneficial for us. He always commands what is easy for us and what is beneficial for us. And this is why the Sharia, it is beneficial in all places, in all times, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He considered the state of the believers when He legislated for them. And finally, we have here something that a note that the Shaykh, one of the Shaykhs, he mentioned, is that in the Quran, it was Allah Himself who abrogated and changed the ahkam according to the states of the people. Whereas in the other religions, it was the priests and the rabbis that they went and changed the rulings. We look in the abrogation of the Quran and those who try to spread doubts about it, the Orientalists, who say that, oh, you have the Quran abrogating itself. But what about in their religions, they themselves abrogate their books? King James, you might have heard of, he had a wife and he wanted to divorce her. So he commanded his scribes to rewrite the Bible, called it the King James Version of the Bible. So he himself abrogated the Bible. Now here, this is comparing to the other religions, what they have done with their books. And in Islam, it was the Quran itself that abrogated other verses. It was Allah Himself who abrogated what He commanded. So there's a big difference, and I hope this removes some of the doubts on this issue. But inshallah, we'll finish here and then leave the rest of the time for any questions, if any of you have them, inshallah.